Welcome to the number one source for information, news, and opinion on your Columbus Blue Jackets. This is CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Find us on the CBJ Radio SoundCloud page, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, Google Play Music, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Now here's your host, Bob McGilligan.
Welcome to another edition of CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. As we get to the end of the week, again, it looks like there is some progress being made as far as at least what the National Hockey League is going to look like when it does return from this pause. It seems that the Players Union and the league are leaning toward a 24-team playoff format. The bottom seven teams would just not return to play this year. 24 teams would come back to play. And the speculation would be that the top teams in each conference would go ahead and get a bye for the play-in round. The top four teams in each conference would get a bye in the first round of the playoffs, or they really wouldn't have a first round of the playoffs. They would play a little round-robin tournament amongst themselves for points that could help them in the overall standings. But teams 5 through 12 would go ahead and match up with 5 playing 12, 6 playing 11, all of that, they would match up in a best-of-5 series. So you've got to win 3 out of 5 to get into the field of 16 and then continue with the normal best-of-7 format from there. So a little bit different. That's what's being proposed, and rightfully so. I mean, it's got to be different this year. There's no question. Now, the questions that there are ones like, okay, you've got Pittsburgh taking on Montreal as it stands in that format. Montreal finished 15 points behind Pittsburgh, but Montreal also has Carey Price. And if Carey Price were to get hot and the Penguins get knocked out, how fair is that? Well, maybe fair, it may not be fair, but it looks like it's the way it's going to be. And that's also why the talk went from being a best-of-3 series to start things off to being a best-of-5 series, because look, if you've got to win 2 out of 3 and a goalie gets hot and he wins the first 2 games, it's over. But that third game, maybe that gives you a little bit more time to settle in. So, again, there's still more questions than answers right now. Where are they going to play? Hub City's not decided. When are they going to play? That time has not been decided. All of that. But it looks like things are finally gearing toward the setup of it and how they are going to actually do it when they find out when and where, which is a good thing. And the real good thing is the Blue Jackets would be involved in it. They would be seeded 10th because of the percentage, points percentage is what would be used. So even though they were in the 8th spot at the break, you go by points percentage and drop down to 10 and would face the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round of the playoffs as it's thought of today. So we'll wait and see how it all shakes out. I want to tell you about Telhio Credit Union right now, though, because Telhio Credit Union, they want to make sure that your money is taken care of. They want to make sure you are doing the most with your money, and they can help you out, whether it's personally or whether it's for your business. Either way, they've got you covered. It can be something as simple as a checking account or a savings account for you and your family, or it could be a small business loan. Whatever it is, go to their website, check it out, see if they have what works for you at telhio.org. If you can't find all the answers to the questions, and believe me, they're there, click on the tabs, you'll find them. But if you don't, or if you don't have time to go through the whole thing, live chat option is what you'll find on the right-hand side of the screen. During business hours, click on that, and somebody will pop up on the screen and talk with you and answer your questions right then and there. Telhio Credit Union is open to everyone in Central and Southwestern Ohio. They are federally insured by NCUA. Well, today I'm going to talk with a guy that's he's a very special guy. I got to meet him a number of years ago when the Blue Jackets opened their season in Sweden against the San Jose Sharks. He is very heavily involved with the Fourth Period magazine, and they're a magazine. They're also online. He is a host of The Hot Stove on SiriusXM NHL Radio on Saturdays. He is Dennis Bernstein, and right now he is joining me live from Los Angeles, California. Well, Dennis, it's certainly good to talk to you. I always look forward to my trips to L.A. because I get to see you in person. But what's it like out there on the left coast right now as we're all trying to get back to some semblance of normalcy?
Well, Bobby, this is a poor substitute seeing you in person, but things are getting better in California. I don't want to go on a political rant, but I'm not pleased the way it was handled. But the numbers seem to be trending in the right way. So hopefully by July 4th, restaurants will be open and the like. From a hockey standpoint, it doesn't really matter because all the California teams stink and they won't be in the playoffs no matter, unless they go to 31 teams, Bobby. Everybody is on the sidelines here. I got guys texting me from the Kings, when can I go home? So it's been a challenging season, but there's light at the end of the tunnel, and I really hope we do, over the next week, get some good news about the resumption of playing the NHL.
What have you thought about this entire thing? Because it's been going on for weeks, and you're right. When you mentioned 31 teams, we've gone from – well, playing more regular season games, then maybe everybody being in some kind of a postseason tournament. Now the theory is 24 teams in the playoffs instead of 16. What have you thought about the whole progression here over the last month?
Well, Bob, here's the deal. And Tim Kurchin came up with a great line. We're going to land on the best of a bad idea. There are no great ideas here. Some people, the people that say they don't will not watch and they're hockey fans, I don't buy for a second. Right? We need hockey back on a couple different levels. The salvage of sport, to give us some good news and something to look forward to. And if you don't believe that, look at NASCAR. Darlington came back on Sunday. It had a 38% lift in their viewership. So we just need it. The players want to play. Certainly the clubs want to get some games back to try to reestablish some revenues going. So it's not perfect. It's not going to be perfect. But, you know, Bob, March 12th, all the perfection went out the window. This is not going to be 16 teams, four rounds of seven, but we do need, and I agree with Gary and Bill wholeheartedly, we do need, if it's safe for the players and the health is not threatened, to compete for the Stanley Cup, to award it on the ice, even without fans in the stands. I think it's very, very important on a couple of different levels.
Yeah, and you know, this 24-team format, if this is the way that they ultimately go, this does make a lot of sense. You know, yeah. Well, there's some people say that it's too many teams, but the way it was going, especially in the East, Dennis, I mean, you know, the Blue Jackets were right in the midst of it. If you go by points percentage, they're going to be 10th. They're going to finish out of the playoffs after battling throughout the year. Carolina, the Islanders, the Panthers are all going to be affected by it. But the teams like the LA Kings, who I know they were hot when the pause came, but I know Drew Doughty came out and he said, like, what do we have to come back and play for, right? The Detroit Red Wings, the Ottawa Senators, what do you want to go back and do any kind of a training camp for and play? It looks like they finally moved that all aside, and they're just going to come back with teams that somewhat had a shot.
Yeah, I get Drew's point, and I was on that call when he made those comments, and that's why I love Drew in L.A., because he'll make those comments. But I mean, the messaging to – and we talked to Rob Blake 2 weeks later. The messaging from the league was, look, we want to try to play all the games. They won't. And the messaging is, it's your job to play the game. So if they did need Drew to come back, if they are, the player's going to take that last check on the 15th of April, then it's Drew's job to come back. So I'm not sympathetic for a guy making $11 million a year who underperformed, to be totally honest and transparent on that. But, yeah, it doesn't make sense for those to go 31 teams. I know P.K. Subban was always a stumper for 31 teams because guess what? The Devils wouldn't be in it either. So, but I think this makes more sense. I think the teams like not even Montreal and Chicago, but like the Jackets, right? Great run, banged up with injuries. And I'll be totally honest with you, Bob, I've been on shows before the last couple of weeks and said, look, with all the injuries they had coming back and the style of play they play, which nobody really hits on, the defensive play, I think coming back, even with a couple of weeks, Bob, it's going to be like baseball as the start. Pitching's ahead of hitting. I think the defensive-minded teams like the Islanders and Jackets, I think they have a big advantage in the first round. So even though whatever seed they are, 10, I give them a legitimate shot, and they're healthy, and they have their players coming back. It could be a dangerous team coming back into a 24-game postseason.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, there were other teams that were banged up too. Colorado had some big injuries that they're going to be able to overcome. But I know you follow our team really closely there. And in fact, so closely that a couple of years ago, we went to Sweden. You went on the trip, for crying out loud. You guys were with us from the Fourth Period Magazine. And Seth Jones, I know that you're well aware of how good of a player he is, but did you realize he was that good of a player? Because I watch him every day, and I become spoiled watching him. I really didn't realize all the little things he did every day until the day he wasn't there.
Well, I saw him in his draft eligible year. CAA, who reps him, had a little practice with draft eligible players. So him and I think Nate McKinnon, I'm like, look at this kid. How he just his skating stride was so smooth. I go, this kid is a natural. I think what happened was he didn't, when he went to Nashville, right, he was, you know, he could be hidden there, right? He didn't emerge. He got to Columbus. That trade, he did that 10 times out of 10. And no disrespect to Ron Johansson, well, maybe a little disrespect because he's disrespecting himself these days on his contract anyway. But I think once he got out of that safety zone he had where he had other great players around him in Nashville, not that, you know, Columbus doesn't have it, but the emergence of him when he got to Columbus saying, like, you're the man, you got to step up. I just think that, yeah, he's going to be a perennial, you know, Norris Trophy candidate. You know, whether he wins or not's another story, but he is clearly an elite defenseman. And like I said, when you add him back to the lineup, it makes them a dangerous team in a short postseason, at least coming out of the first round.
This is a question that I've posed to some people around the league. I've asked people in Columbus. I've asked some people outside of Columbus. Remember back in the heyday of the Chicago Blackhawks when Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook were the most feared defensive pair in the NHL? I mean, especially if it came to the power play, they both got out there at the same time. Good luck to you. I think that Seth Jones and Zach Werenski together at least rival that. What do you think is an outsider that pays close attention to what goes on here?
Give them a couple more seasons, Bob, and you're probably dead on. And the thing about those two guys is they're still young. Like this is not Seabrook and, you know, and Keith at 28 or 29 years old. They have room to grow. They have the right coach. The more offensive players to get around them, you're going to have that situation. So could they very well be? Yeah. I mean, the future is very bright on the blue line, just in general, with respect to the Jackets on the blue line. And it's a team. Look, the reason I cover them is because it's really – they're an easy team to root for, Bob. Like, you know, I love the fans. I love the market. Maybe they get one of the teams. Maybe they get one of the cities as a hub city. So I think there's so much positivity, especially, Bob, coming out of last season, right? Everybody said, hey, Keck went for it. Good try. They won a round. Now they're going to stink. Guess what? They didn't listen to anybody, Bob. They listened to themselves. They know they still have talent on this team. And despite the injuries, you love this team because they never quit on anything. Like they do it despite the odds. I'm not saying they're going to win the Stanley Cup this year, but just the effort by this team and the coach in the front office to keep this team together, make some additions, and keep them in the mix. I think it's been a masterful job here to just keep in the mix because everybody had them written off because of all the departures in the offseason.
All right, you mentioned the coach a couple of times here. And in a league where the coaches are getting younger, just like the players are getting younger, in your opinion, what makes John Tortorella so effective for the Columbus Blue Jackets?
There's not a more determined man on the planet, much less coach on the planet, than John Tortorella. He's been around a block. He's very, you know, I know his anger gets the best of him sometimes. He's a really bright guy. And I covered John. I was down in Tampa for 6 months the year before he won the Stanley Cup. And there were some nights where there's not a lot of media in Tampa. He would say, hey, you know what, forget the stanchion, forget all this stuff. He put us in a circle. There was me, Eric Erlandson, a couple other riders. We just sit in a circle and talk hockey after a post game, like, which is amazing. So I just think that he's smart. He's a motivator, and he wants to win again, right? And he doesn't care about the odds, and he'll do it his way. He's the one type of coach. You know, you talk about old school coaches. He's the only really one, if you think about it, that's really transitioned from the guy like a Sutter or a Hitchcock. Right, my way. It's not my way. I think John has adjusted because the generation of these players are very different than when he started, right, back in the 90s or whatever. So I just think his determination, his smartness, and his ability to adapt. And look, there's some nights where he's going to give those 30-second press conferences. Those aren't going away. That's John Tortorella, and we love him for it. But I just think he's adapted to this generation of player, and it's resonated because when you have kids making $7, $8, $9 million and they don't like the message or the way it's delivered, Bob, they'll turn you out and you'll be gone. So I just think his ability to take the way what he learned at other stops and apply it to what modern day it is to coach in Columbus in 2020. I think he's done a great job just assessing what's needed to be behind the bench in the NHL today.
Well, as a guy that's been around him before, I'm sure you know this, but it still amazes me how many media people don't get this about him. If there's a situation going on, if you go back and look at some of his classic blowups or, you know, some of those press conferences, there's always something else happening where the attention could get focused on the players. And he's such a good manipulator in many ways. He will put the focus on himself. He doesn't mind looking like a jerk if that means that you're letting his players go and there's no more pressure getting put on them. Would you agree?
Yeah. And to be honest with you, his style is preferable to what I had to do with Daryl Sutter here in LA. And I had to deal with it. And he won two championships. So, you know, the results speak for themselves. But I think that, you know, I don't think there's the level of, I think some nights Daryl really disrespected the media. And part of it was because I'm an American and he's Canadian. And he only thinks the Canadian media knows hockey, which is ridiculous. I'm a member of the Hockey Writers Association and wrote for the awards. So I get it. And it is a great point, Bob, about the deflection. Like, put the attention on him. The team stunk that night. Then let's not talk about the team and let's talk about me and I'll blow up. It's calculated, right? That's what the greatness of coaches do. It's like Phil Jackson was a very calculated coach. So there's method behind the madness. It's absolutely not just blowing up because he lost his temper. He said, you know what? This is the response I need to distract from the negativity or the, you know, the bad play we had tonight. So I have no problem with it. You know what? It's his job. And I think he understands and respects that the media has to do their job. And that's what I get this season with Todd McClellan. I've gotten close with Todd over the year. And he said, you know, I respect you guys have a job to do. I have a job to do. I think there's a way to do it. But, you know, I still wait for those classic blowups. When I see Tortorella on my Twitter feed, I know, they lost. So this must be a great press conference. So I got to tune in and see what happened in the postgame.
Yeah, it's got to be the biggest postgame ratings in the league. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah.
All right. I want to ask you about the Hub City possibility. You've been to Columbus for big events. You know, yep. The league has had a draft here. The league has had an all-star game here. Even if it's no fans, which it looks like it will be no fans, what makes Columbus attractive is somebody that has been here a couple of times and has gotten mm-hmm. to see this city for the NHL city it is?
The building, the people are super nice. Love it. There's hotel space around the place. And it's easy to get around, Bob. And this is not Toronto, right? I mean, even with the reduced traffic on the streets and things of that nature, I just think it's centrally located. I just like the layout of the Capital District. Am I biased? Yeah, I've had great times in Columbus. Not that I would because there'll be less people on the streets. I just think it makes sense from a geography standpoint. You know, they're talking about Vegas and Edmonton. They can't be the two hubs. They're both in the West. You got to have an Eastern team, I think, to make a little bit more sense. I know there's no home ice advantage. You can fly teams around. But I just like the layout, and I think it'll be easy to segregate the players, but yet be close to the arena and have a couple of sheets of ice that'll work. Do you think it checks all the boxes for me? And like I said, it's not a densely populated, and that's what you see with respect to Edmonton. One of their arguments is it's not as densely populated as Vegas or Toronto. And the same thing with Columbus. I think it's better if you have a mid-sized city that has all the infrastructure that can pull this off without the massive population.
All right, we've talked about you being in LA. Of course, you're with the Fourth Period magazine. Very important there. You do the Hot Stove Show on Sirius XM, NHL radio every week. You know, what's it like being a hockey guy in LA? I mean, you're a Hollywood hockey guy.
Well, let's see. 10 years ago, it was like, you cover the Kings, do you have any Laker tickets? But now that they've won championships, look, hockey is never going to be at the level of the Dodgers or the Lakers, even if they won 10 Stanley Cups. But there's a rabid supportive fan base of this team. And I think more and more, look, the game night entertainment is great. Staples Center is a great building. So it's great. It's cool. It's never going to be a major, like the major, right? Because there's legacy teams here. And with the new stadium with the Rams and Chargers, that's going to take away some of the drawing. But there is a facet of this fandom. And you see it when it comes around. When they won, you know, you had guys like, you know, Will Ferrell come around and celebrities come around. So you get to see celebrities come around. They do it right. They've had a contending team up until this season, Bob. They didn't miss the playoff in consecutive seasons for a decade. Now, that's the one thing about LA, Bob. As you know, we're all front runners, right? Got to win, right? So if you don't win, they don't care about all the draft picks and the great stuff. You know, they want winners. So that's part of the challenge and issue. But it's been a really, really good line. The new regime here is more media friendly than the old regime was, but they won championships. So, you know, it's a tendency when you win championships to say, you know, we'll do what we want. So it's great. The weather's great. I never have to fight ice on the roads here. I do have to fight traffic. But hockey has a place here. And if not for Wayne Gretzky in the trade so many years ago in the 90s, you wouldn't have the success the Kings had. You wouldn't have the Ducks or the Sharks probably. You wouldn't have a Vegas Golden Knights. So I just think it has its place, but it's going to be a tertiary sport at this point in time, and it will always be at this point.
What's it like dealing with Rob Blake? Because I know I talk to Jody Shelley all the time. He and Rob are very good friends from being former teammates, and Jody always talks about how intelligent Rob Blake is and how smart he is, especially in getting into situations. Jody said to me before, everything he touches turns to gold. He's that kind of a guy. How have you interacted with him?
Rob would be a great poker player. Must be a great poker player because he calls his cards close to the best ball. He really does. You don't get a lot from him, but he's been really friendly towards me when I talk to him. Not the most outgoing guy. Smart guy, yeah. Sharp, yeah. And some people have questioned, does he want to continue to do this? Because there hasn't been a lot of – the one thing about Rob is that you know he's taking it on the chin because he was a Hall of Fame hockey player, right? He was a Stanley Cup winner, and if you look at the numbers, the team hasn't done well in his stewardship, right? You got on the tail end of the Lombardi-Sutter era. He whiffed on the first, he didn't whiff on the first, he whiffed on the second coach. John Stevens was probably just a really good assistant. I think if Rob had one thing to change through his tenure, he would have went and wiped the slate clean coming in. He wouldn't have elevated John Stevens. He would have went to maybe another coach, maybe a junior coach or a college coach, and started fresh. John worked for a season, and then it didn't really work out. The Willie DeJong thing was a disaster on a couple of different levels, but he finally got the coach right. Because I believe in Todd McClellan, love working with him, smart man, motivating guy. He got that right. He's got the prospects part right, right? We have here in L.A. one of the deepest prospects pool in the league. And if they luck into the first overall pick and they get Lafreniere or Byfield, they're going to be even deeper. So there's a really good future. Where he needs to connect the dots is the transitional players, Bob, between the Kopitars and Doughty, and they are getting older. Nobody stays young forever. So now they're in their early 30s. Can he find some established talent to work with those stars and the prospects coming through to get this team back to contention? Because I'll submit to you, they're trending in the right direction. Next season, they should move further up the food chain with their prospects coming through. But next season, you got to see, they can't have another 72-point season. They got to get to 80. They got to be a 500 team. You got to see a 10-point jump. Other than that, then it'll be 4 years under his stewardship. So smart guy, knows his stuff, and he's surrounded himself. And this is one of the criticisms I have of him, is that if you're not a former NHL player, you're not part of his management team. You know, Mike Fuda was not going to pick up his contract. He's been here 13 years. But you have Luke Robitaille, Rob Blake, Nelson Emerson, and Glenn Murray. That's the management team. And if you're not in – which, you know, why they didn't find that, you know, room for Fuda to keep going could be a couple of different things. So I think next season is a pivotal season for this team because they have all the tools. They're trending in the right direction. As I mentioned, the 2 points that they really got back on track on. But now, like, can this team contend with a very difficult Western Division, Western Conference? I'm really sure at this point.
You know, as you talk about next season, I can't help but wonder, when's it going to start? Because there's already been rumblings about pushing it all the way back to December before you start again. And your state is one of the states that's really going to make a difference. California, New York, when are you going to be allowed to have mass gatherings again in either one of those states? And of course, you know, nobody knows the answer to these questions right now, but that is going to loom very large, isn't it, as the NHL, once they get beyond where they already are and figure out what they're doing with this season, how to approach next season.
Well, here's how I think they're going to look at it, Bob, to be honest with you. What I hear is that whenever the season ends, and it does end, and I'm assuming end meaning they play in Warner Stanley Cup, 50 days between the end of that season and the start of next season. So what are we looking at? November, December? I'll subscribe to you that I have no problem with the NHL with a late start. They still want to play 82 games next season. And I'll give you a perfect example. If Tampa won the cup, right, in September, October, given what's going on with that football team, do you think anybody would care about the Tampa Bay Lightning if they won a Stanley Cup with Tom Brady in town? No, of course. And on the up, when all these sports come back, they're going to come back en masse. So if you started in October, like you normally would, you'd play NFL. Baseball's probably going to still be playing. NBA still might be playing. Like college football, no, move it back. I have no problem starting this season, November, December. What I concern myself with, Bob, is that once we get to March of 2021, the amount of injuries on these players, do we even think about expanding the rosters? Can we, given the fact that the finances won't be here? So there's a lot of question marks, but I would think if you're looking at a seven-week pause between end of the season, start of next season, I don't think anybody across the board has a problem with starting in November, December. I think it may actually benefit the NHL.
Yeah, that's a really good point. But yeah, as you said, a compacted schedule. We've seen compacted schedules during Olympic breaks and all that stuff. This would take that to another level. Hey, you have any good features coming up in the Fourth Period magazine anytime soon?
Yeah, we got some. I think I did an interview with Brock Besser. Actually, he's going to be on the cover of the next magazine. Really good kid. Great story. Just a heart bigger than, you know, his body. You know, he took autistic kid to a prom a couple of years ago, and really good kid. And then for the spec of the website, you know, but at some point we'll get to trade speculation and free agency, even though it might be in September, October. So any breaking news, and as we get deeper into the season, once it resumes, you know, just look out for us with respect to trades at the draft, and we haven't even talked about the draft, but you know, you can always visit thefourthperiod.com. My Twitter address is DennisTFP. So you want to get entertained and informed, you can stop in there.
Hey, let me just ask you one more thing before we leave. You mentioned the draft. How exciting is it going to be? I'm assuming they're not going to get it done in June. So let's just say Stanley Cup gets awarded, draft, free agency, training camp. For people like you and I that cover teams, I'm okay with that.
Totally. I'll be honest with you, I'd be good now. And I get the arguments against it and not doing it. And probably we're up against Tom, so we can't do it. But most of these teams are ready anyway. Like the seven, I gave in a scenario where the seven bottom teams, the Kings, they knew they weren't making the playoffs. So what's the next job? Draft, right? So those seven teams are out ready. And there's eight teams that don't have a first round pick. Like Boston, even Boston, did they even care about the first round? So there's probably a 50-50 split. But yeah, I'm all for compacting all the offseason stuff, but I would have been good with it now. And of course that just leveraged off of the NFL success of the draft. But the NHL is not the NFL, so I just question the resources. Do they have to pull it off like the NFL did? I don't think so. So, yeah, I'm comfortable with it in September, October. It's unfortunate because not to have it in Montreal would have been fantastic. That's a great venue. They'll get it in a couple of years. But, yeah, I'm ready for as much information and news and draft and free agency as I can stand because these last couple of months, Bob, have been really challenging for guys like me and you.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I'm glad we got to have this conversation today. I'm glad I got to see you. Glad we got to talk. I do miss seeing you, as I said at the beginning of this, and hopefully we'll get to see each other in person sometime in the near future, Dennis.
Bobby Mack, hopefully we'll see you around the playoffs and the Jackets are in the fourth round, so hopefully we'll see you then.
I'd like to thank Dennis Bernstein from the Fourth Period magazine. You can find him online. You can also hear him on the Hot Stove on Saturdays on SiriusXM NHL Radio. Love what he had to say about the 24-team playoff format, about the hub cities, and especially about Columbus. And he's not lying when he tells you how much he likes this team. He went to Sweden with us a couple of years ago. He's always been in tune with what's going on with the Blue Jackets. So it's good to have him on the show and hear him say some very candid things. I love that. You know, I love that. So it was great to have him on. And as we go forward and there's more news and, you know, more answers to the questions, I'll make sure that I bring that to you from the people that are involved. And, you know, what I'm waiting for, and I can't wait until this happens, is to get it to the point where we know where the Blue Jackets are going to play. We know when they're going to play. And we can start talking to the players and the coaches again and get really ramped up for a return to the NHL season. Hopefully that is coming soon. I'll tell you what's here right now is Memorial Day weekend. So it's like the unofficial start of summer. It's also a time that is getting us closer to the end of May. And by May 31st, you want to be registered to join Cam Atkinson in his virtual 5K. Because if you're registered by the end of May, you get the free t-shirt, you get the medal. And if it's after May 31st, well, the perks kind of go away. You can still be involved, but you're not going to get all the perks. So make sure that you register for that virtual 5K. All you have to do is go online to fnf5k.com. The actual 5K itself takes place between June 4th and 7th. You get 3 days to complete it. You can do that however you want. You can walk, you can run, you can ride a bike, you can rollerblade, whatever it is. Or you could just pay to be a part of it and donate your money, which is going to a great cause over at Riverside Hospital. They're going to have a machine to test the frontline workers for the coronavirus. It will be a test that will come back in mere minutes, which will keep everyone more safe. And that's where the funds are going for this virtual 5K. So get involved. Even if you don't walk one doggone step, you can still help to make the community a better place. But I'll bet you do. I'll bet you walk the steps. I'll bet you run the steps, or you you bike it, or you rollerblade it. Why not? It's fun, and it'll get you involved with a lot of other Blue Jackets fans. FNF5K.com is where you go online to register for that and join Cam Atkinson June 4th through the 7th for his virtual 5K. All right, with Monday being Memorial Day, as it stands right now, I am going to forego the normal Monday mailbag edition of CBJ in 30. However, if there's any big breaking news over the weekend, I will get with you on Tuesday and answer your questions. If nothing else breaks between now and Tuesday, we'll just kind of roll with it and come back next Friday with another show. But if there is news as to what's going on with the playoffs and the format and the return and all of that stuff, if there is news, I will take your questions on Tuesday. In the meantime, enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Don't let it feel like every other weekend and every other day since this pandemic started, okay? Try to do something special where you're allowed to get out now. You're allowed to go into a restaurant. If you're in Ohio, that is. You're allowed to go into a restaurant and get something to eat. Get out. Hopefully the rain will stop here and you can get out, enjoy yourself, and make it a little bit special. I hope you do. I hope you enjoy the weekend. And I will talk to you next week. That'll do it for today's edition of CBJ in 30, presented by Tel Ohio Credit Union. Until next time, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.